I call you Jesus. Next couple weeks at least, probably 3 weeks, I'm sure 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about this thought that I've had on my heart for a while. I thought this would be a good topic to teach at this point, and it's on temptation. So I think that there's some in the room that you need to listen tight, and you need to listen with ears that'll hear concerning this mini-series, 3 weeks or so, that we'll talk about. Temptation. Everybody's been tempted. Everybody will be tempted. You might be being tempted right now. Temptation, we know from Scripture, is a part of the earthly experience. Look on the screen for the next several moments. We'll have some key points, scriptures, I think, that'll be pertinent to you understanding about this topic. So let me set it up today. We're gonna tiptoe into temptation. Then we're going to flip the script, talking about a word that temptation is associated with. And the New Testament uses the word temptation and this other word with similar definitions. And we'll bring some clarity to you at the end. We'll also, at the end, read 20 scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Come on, some of you are saying, 20 scriptures? Yes, this is church. We read the Bible. Come on, somebody. Look on the screen. Read it with me. Temptation is not a sin until you yield to temptation. It's not there yet. Boom. Jesus. Boom. There we go. Read it with me. Temptation is not a sin until you yield to temptation. You can think tempting thoughts. You can have tempting images come to your mind. It's not sin until you yield to it or till you act on it. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James says and tells us that we can endure and persevere when we're being tempted. He tells us a blessing comes. Blessed is the man or the woman who endures temptation. So the temptation that comes your and my way, we have got the capacity to endure in it and then be approved by God, with God giving us, the scripture says, James writes, and it's also written to the church at Smyrna in Revelation, talks about the crown of life, which the Lord will give to you, promise to those who love him. The crown of life, all theologians believe this, is that not just something for heaven, it is, but also that we can tap into eternal life while we're here on the earth regarding dealing with temptations that come to all of us. A crown that doesn't fade away. The crown is symbolic of having spiritually triumphed in this life. Hence, the scripture is telling us there's a crown waiting every man, every woman, every young adult concerning every temptation that you would ever face. When you don't yield to it, you don't take the bait, you stand against it, there's a crown that will not fade away that says you have tapped into eternal power while you're on the earth. It's available for every one of us constantly. There's always a door and another door, and the word of God is telling us, choose the right door. The battlefield of temptation, look on the screen, is the training ground for victories. I don't want you to go through life and look at situations in your life thinking, dear God, why is this happening? We're going to find out that there's things, again, we're all tempted. We're in this earthly experience, and we'll read in a couple weeks, we'll go back to Genesis and we'll read that account. It's all throughout the Bible. Men and women have succumbed to it. Men and women have been victorious over it in every realm. Whatever a weakness is in your flesh, the devil wants to try to bring a temptation in that regard. But the battlefield of temptation in all of our lives will be the training ground of victories, where you realize, I'm not going to succumb, I'm not going to go under, I am going to win over this temptation. I am going to see the victory of the Lord when I'm being tempted. Read with me from Matthew chapter 6. It's the Lord's Prayer. Let's read together. I want you to clue in when we get to verse 13, which should be the last verse we read. I want you to read that last sentence 2 times. Is that all right, everybody? Come on, let's read it together. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Read that again. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. One more time, you're doing too good. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. James 1:13. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. I was reading this recently. I've been reading this, you know, just like you. I've been praying the Lord's Prayer forever. But something kind of like, you know, it just didn't get me. It just like, it, there's something about verse 13 that I read it and I'd kind of like, you know, there's just some things that when you kind of get that little smirk on your face, like, man, it requires you to dig a little deeper because the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you about something, give you some revelation, give you some insight. Uncover something that you're not seeing. Give you eyes to see and an ear to hear and a heart that'll respond to God in a certain area. And that was what was happening to me. And so Jesus says and says for us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, lead us not into temptation. Remember? Pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But James writes, come on, the scripture's there. Look, James writes, that God can't be tempted by evil and doesn't tempt anyone with evil. So Jesus says, pray to the Father, don't lead me into temptation. But James says, the Father can't tempt you with evil, nor does he tempt anybody with evil. So look on the screen, my question. Hopefully we'll be able to unpack it for a little bit this morning. Why does Jesus ask us to pray something God said he wouldn't do? Why does Jesus ask us to pray something that God said he wouldn't do? We got to dig a little deeper. The word temptation in the Greek in the New Testament, the New Testament was written in the Greek language. It can mean, number one, a temptation to sin, but it also can mean a test or a trial of your faith. Same word used two different ways. So we have to take a hard look when we're reading the Bible. We have to take a hard look at the text to make sure we are all getting the right context. So stick with me as we just talk about this for a second. Is that here's what I believe is that Jesus is advocating in all of our lives for a regular prayer journey that asks God the Father something like this. Look on the screen. Praying this, something like this. Don't allow me to enter into a trial or a test that would overthrow me and lead me into sin. Don't allow me, Lord. You say, don't lead me to temptation. Don't allow me to enter a trial or a test that's gonna overthrow me and it's gonna lead me into sin. It's God's desire. It's God's grace to protect us. It's God's against temptation, against the challenge, whatever, the weakness in our flesh, that we're saying, Lord, I recognize my vulnerability, that we're all susceptible in our flesh, and I recognize my vulnerability, and I'm not saying I got this all figured out, and I'm not saying I'm too big that I could never fall. I could fall. I could do something stupid in a moment that would crush my wife, crush my church, ruin my reputation, and you could too. So the prayer is, don't allow me to enter a trial or a test that'll overthrow me and lead me into sin. Paul writes something staggering in 1 Corinthians 10. I don't have the scripture for it, but just look it up. He says this, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I heard a noted pastor 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, say this. He was in Bible school, and there were, you know, 25, 30 kids, and they were getting ready to graduate, and the professor said something like this. He said, how many do you think in the room, that they're already, they've already been assigned a pastorate in this denomination? They're, you know, last week of school, and they're going to be sent out to start their new journey, full-time ministry. And the professor said, how many in the room think that you would ever fall into sexual sin and adultery? And nobody's hand went up in the room. And the one guy who's telling the story lifted his hand. And the professor said, I'm not concerned with you, sir. I'm concerned with the rest of them who didn't raise their hands. Don't allow me to enter a trial or temptation, a test that would overthrow me and lead me into sin. Jesus is modeling for us a prayer posture that's totally dependent on God. Now, here's what we know. Look on the screen. God is never going to trap you with a sin to see if you'll overcome. He won't do that. He'll never trap you. He'll never tempt you. We read what James says. He can't be tempted by God, nor does he tempt anybody with evil. But a temptation comes from the enemy. A temptation comes from our own flesh. A temptation comes from our own mind. Our temptation comes from our own desire. Our temptation comes from our own will. So the prayer, one more time, that Jesus is praying is a prayer asking God that we would not succumb to temptation. We wouldn't succumb to temptation. Here's where it gets sticky. Look on the screen for a couple of points. There's no point praying for victory over temptation if you're not willing to make a commitment to say no to it. Where in the reality of your own heart, where you say, Lord, I'm struggling with this, but my answer is no to that. And so I'm coming to you, Lord God. Keep me from this. Protect me. Give me strength in this area. Let me see what the Word of God says. Lead me to the Word of God. Father, I'm going to draw near to you to get victory over this temptation in my life, this weakness in my flesh. And somebody said this, a pastor friend, I wrote it down, I thought it was brilliant, so I didn't think of this. I'll give shout out. I think this is Pastor TJ from Heart Rev, my good friend. He said this, confess your temptation so you won't have to confess your sin. Guys, that's gold. That's gold. Lord, I'm being tempted in this. I've got, there's a longing in my heart for this. Something's wrong with me, Lord God. So I'm confessing that. I'm confessing the temptation is sin. So I won't have to fall and take the bait and have to confess the sin. Because the sin means there's going to be repercussions. Because I've sinned and I've missed the mark. Now, what I want to do for the rest of the morning is I want to flip the script on this opening session as we talk about temptation, but flip it when we talk about this second word, which is the test or the trial. What we know from Scripture, and we'll prove it, is that God won't tempt you with evil, but he will test and prove your faith to you. He won't test you, he won't tempt you with evil, but he will test and he will prove your faith to you. So, by way of reminder, look again on the screen. A temptation from the devil is meant to ruin you. A test from God is meant to strengthen you. A temptation from the devil is meant to ruin you. A test from God is meant to strengthen you. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. This is with Abraham and Isaac. If you know the story, he's believed God for this boy for 25 years. He finally has him. And, you know, several years later, most people think he's probably, you know, a young man at this time. Maybe he's 10, maybe he's 11, maybe he's 12, maybe he's a little bit older. But it says this, verse 1, after these things, God tested, different translations, and proved the faith and the commitment of Abraham. If God tested and proved the faith and commitment of Abraham, God will test and prove the commitment and the faith of you and me as well. Verse 2, he says, now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. That's the operative word, whom you love. Maybe just, you know, historical church folks, church fathers believe that there might have been something going on with Abraham at this point where now he's got what he's desired. He's got what he's prayed for. And maybe the love of God had grown a little cold. I'm reading in between the lines. But it says, now take your son, not just your son Isaac, take your son whom you love. Maybe the temptation was to love your son more than you love your God. You believed God. It wasn't too late, and I believed you. But now my heart starts drifting. Starts drifting. And God says, I'm going to test you. I'm going to prove you. Your commitment to me. He says, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which you tell me. Abraham knows God. Abraham knows God's not a stealer. He's not a killer. Abraham knows that God doesn't like and isn't into human sacrifice. Abraham knows this, but he also knows it's a test. He knows it's a trial. And Abraham says to the young men that were with him, verse 5, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. We're going to go up this mountain and worship, and we will come back. I love Abraham. He says this test isn't going to be the end of Isaac. We're going to worship. We're going to be back. So this trial isn't going to break me. This trial is going to make me. This test is to prove my devotion and my love to God. Or he leaves early in the morning. He's got a knife. He's got a fire. He's got the wood. And verse 8 says this, and Abraham said to his son, when Isaac says, oh man, we've got the knife, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, where's the sacrifice? And what's Abraham say in verse 8? My God will provide for himself the lamb. Come on, the lamb for a burnt offering. God's going to provide. God's got a remedy for this test. My test is Jesus. My eyes are going to be on Jesus. Jesus is going to give me the answer in the middle of this test and this trial. I'm going to draw near to Jesus. I'm not going to pull away. Lord, if you say, I read something this past week in my devotional. It was on YouVersion, and I thought it was brilliant. This guy who's a campus director for young adults and campus ministry all over the United States, and he said this, that he's been praying a prayer regularly. And the prayer goes something like this. Jesus, the answer is yes. Now tell me the question. Jesus, the answer is yes. Tell me the question. I say yes to you. I'm going to stay true in the test. I'm going to stay true in the trial. I'm going to resist the temptation. It's yes to you. It's yes to your word. It's yes to your will. Tell me the question, Lord. Tell me the question. I believe with all my heart that God's bringing Abraham to this place of total dependence on God. He totally depended on God for years earlier. But there's always going to be another test so that God and you can see your heart. So he says in verse, well, let me read this to you. I want to sit in this for just a couple seconds, this story, because it's so powerful. Is that I think that we all need to realize this, that we need to trust in the Lord to help you more than you trust in the trial to break you. So I just think that we think that this thing is just so difficult that God's asking me to, we'll talk about some tests at the end that hopefully you'll clue in on. You say, Lord, this is something you're dealing with me about. Not a temptation, but a test, a trial that I can win. I can get victory. I can draw near to you. I can see what's really going on in my heart, really what's going on in my desires and my agenda and my motives so that I can grow and I can be the man or be the woman that God wants me to be. And so Abraham gets his son, he puts him on the altar, he gets the knife, and come on, you know the scripture, verse 12, God says, angel says to him, don't lay your hand on the lad, don't do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you haven't withheld your son, your only son. I believe with all of our heart, God's desiring to give all of us a now I know, that now I know. Now I know that you'll obey me. Now I know concerning this test or concerning this trial that I'm bringing into your life to prove you, to increase you, to move you in spiritual growth and character development, that now I know you've passed the test. Look on the screen. Satan seeks to turn a test from God into a temptation by telling you that God's abandoned you, forgotten you, and that he doesn't care about you. So a test from God can be turned into a temptation. where you say, God doesn't love me anymore. God's not concerned about me anymore. God's forgotten me. So even a test from God, a trial from God, can turn sideways. Well, God's trying to prove you. God's trying to strengthen you. Unless this happens, a test can be turned into a temptation unless you're grounded in the scripture, unless you know God, you know God's character, you know God's nature, you know God's love for you. Because we have scripture after scripture, guys, concerning this. Matthew 4:1, it says this, Jesus was led, Jesus was guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. So is God the Father like a crazy maniac lunatic, and he's guiding the Holy Spirit to speak to Jesus, to draw him to the wilderness, to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil? He's doing it for your and my benefit. He's doing it for us. Jesus is going to get victory, and his victory is never just his victory. His victory is for us as well. So the purpose, look, of every test is to prove and strengthen your faith, not to entice you or provoke you to sin. Again, one more time. The purpose of every test is to prove and strengthen your faith, not to entice you or provoke you to sin. So we've said this, but one more time. Satan's purpose is to corrupt you by sin. God's purpose is to connect you to his grace. That's the purpose of the test. That's the purpose of the trial. That is not God tempting you. That's what the enemy is doing. He's trying to ruin you. He's trying to provoke you. That's why we stand against the temptation. We resist the temptation, but we welcome the test and the trial. When Jesus overcame the three temptations in the wilderness, he was demonstrating the reversal of Adam's transgression and sin in the garden. We see that. So where Adam failed, look at, he failed in paradise. The scripture tells us Jesus fulfills in the desert. Jesus fulfills. Adam's in a perfect environment. And he sinned and he failed. And Jesus is in an imperfect world now. And Jesus fulfills and gets the victory in the desert. Listen to me. So that tells me it's not necessarily my environment I have to be concerned about. I have to be concerned about my heart. I can get victory in the desert. Come on, everybody. Come on, I'm not going to be preaching long. We're going to wind down here this morning. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What specifically? Hold fast your confession concerning what we're talking about right now. Hold fast your confession regarding the Lord's Prayer. God will never allow me. God will never allow me to enter a trial or a test or a situation that will overthrow me and lead me into sin. That's my confession. That's my confession. You're not going to lead me to temptation. You're going to deliver me from everything evil. You're going to deliver me from the evil one. You're not going to bring that into my life. You're not going to bring that across my life. That's in this earthly experience. This is in this world experience that I'm in. But the environment, and if you're in a crazy environment where there's temptation all around, absolutely, I would say get out of that environment. 100% remove you. But you can't. We can't be removed from the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world. But if it's a temptation that you're battling and you can, get out of that environment. Don't succumb to that. Don't trust the Lord's goodness in that area, because your flesh, listen to me, your flesh will deceive you. Your mind will lie to you. It'll tell you no one's looking, no one's seeing. You won't be found out, but you will be caught. Over and over, we see it in Scripture. So the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 15, we have a high priest that's passed into the heavens. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He was on all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We know this is Jesus. He's our high priest. So what do we do? What do we do when we're being tempted? Let us come boldly, verse 16, into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Confess your temptation before you have to confess your sin. Father, I'm coming to today. I'm being tempted with lust. I'm being tempted with greed. I'm being tempted with looking what somebody has and wanting what they have. I'm being tempted with I just need a new wife. I need a new husband. I'm being tempted. I'm being tempted when I watch social media about what they have and I don't have, and I'm being tempted. I'm going to confess the temptation before I take the temptation and I sin. Confess the temptation. I'm drawing near to you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to the throne of grace, coming boldly to find grace and to find mercy to help me in a time of need. Deuteronomy chapter 8, read with me several scriptures. Every commandment which I command you today, you must carefully observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which I swore to your fathers. And you shall remember the Lord your God, who led you all these ways, 40 years in the wilderness, to do what? To humble you and to test you, to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. This is still going on today. God humbles us, he tests us, he proves us to show us our heart, whether we'll keep his word or not. Verse 3, so he humbled you. This is the nation of Israel. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna. So this tells me there's going to be seasons in your my life that might be lean, that might not be Jehovah Jireh, that might be, God, where are you? Lord, don't you know I'm crying out to you? Lord, I've been standing. Lord, I've been praying. Lord, I've been giving. Where's my harvest? You're in a trial. You're in a test that's allowed by God to show you your heart. He humbled you, allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you didn't know and your fathers didn't know. And he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Your garments didn't wear out. Your foot didn't swell these 40 years. That you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, the Lord God will chasten you. Not kill you, not put sickness on you, discipline you and I through the word of God. Verse 6. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Fear him. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of brooks and water, a land of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, pomegranates, land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you eat bread without scarcity, in which you lack nothing, a land in whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Verse 10, but when you have eaten, check it out, when you have eaten, not if you've eaten and are full, when you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God and don't keep his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, here's the test. Here's the test. Here it is. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all you have is multiplied, then your heart's lifted up. It's your heart, guys. Listen, it's always about your heart. It's your heart. Then your heart's lifted up and you forget. Hey, Abraham, did you forget me? Did you start loving Isaac a little too much? You forget me. He brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 15. He led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, and there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock. Verse 16. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, and your fathers didn't know. He might humble you, here it is again, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Every test in school is to prove what you know, to do you good in the end, so you'll make it to the next grade. You'll accelerate. It's not to hurt you. It's not to harm you. It's to reveal in you what you know. The test is to humble you, to prove to you, do I trust God in this area of my life? Verse 17, then you say, my power, strength of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You say, it's what I've done. It's what I've done. He says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And that'll be that if by any means you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today, you're going to perish. It's not going to go good with you. Nation of Israel, as the nations the Lord destroys those other nations before you, you're going to perish because you wouldn't be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. God's saying, I'm not going to tempt you with evil, but I am going to test you. I'm going to prove to you who you trust, what you believe. Not a temptation to evil, not a temptation to sin, but a test and a trial to humble you, to draw your heart closer to me, and to prove to me your loyalty and your devotion and surrendering to me. So let me give you a few tests that we're all going to go through constantly. First test is a lordship test. The lordship test. This test is Jesus must be more than Savior to do. Jesus must be your master. This is the lordship test. Jesus must be your master. Another test is a pride test. The pride test. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Are you going to lower yourself? Are you going to wash other people's feet? Or are you too high? Who are you going to serve? The pride test. We're going to go through a test called the money test. We talked about it this morning already. Who's in charge of your money? Is it you or God? Do you tithe? Do you give offerings? Are you generous? Do you help the poor? Do you help the needy? Money test. Constantly. Constantly. Trust test. We're going to go through the trust test. Will you follow God when you don't see, you can't see the way? Will you follow me when you don't see the way? You don't know how. You don't know how. Will you trust me? And just lastly, the obedience test. The obedience test is that, will you obey the word of God when you don't understand? God, I don't understand. I don't know how I can do this. Will you just obey God when you don't understand? God will allow us to go through tests and trials to prove to you who you trust, either yourself, your way, your money, your ability to navigate things, or will you completely surrender that to God and allow God and His Spirit to be the sole source and direction and strength of your life? If you do, every test and every trial, you're going to come out victorious, just like Jesus came out of the wilderness, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. Can you say amen, everybody? Come on, stand up. Would you do it? All over the room. All over the room. Come on, would you bow your head and close your eyes right now? Come on, put your hands out in front of you right now, all of us, right now. If you're being tempted in any area right now, come on, right there under your breath. You know what the temptation, you know what the temptation is. Come on, confess the temptation to the Lord right now. Lord, I'm being tempted. I confess this temptation to you right now. I turn from it right now. Give me the power, give me the strength to turn from this temptation, Lord God. The temptation to want to be in control, the temptation to want something that you've not given to me, Lord God, something that doesn't belong to me, coveting something else, Lord God. I confess the temptation right now. Now, if you have taken the bait of temptation, come on, your prayer is, Lord God, I've taken the bait of that. I've sinned, Lord God. I'm repenting. I'm changing my mind. I confess it as sin. I confess it as sin. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Come on, while your hands are still out. While your hands are still out, you're in a test, you're in a trial. You're in a test, you're in a trial. A trial of faith, just like Abraham. Brings you to a mountain, climb, bring your son. We're going going to see what you believe. Right now, the trial isn't meant to break you. It's to make you into something you're not right now. So the Bible says that God won't tempt you with evil. He will not tempt you with evil. The test and the trial is going to reveal Christ to you in a new way. So right now, Father God, for every one of us that are going through a trial of faith, we pray great grace on our lives this morning. Great grace. We have a high priest that's passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We draw near to you, Lord God. We receive grace and mercy to help in a time of need right now. Help us, strengthen us in the middle of this test and in this trial. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We can win over every temptation. Every trial, every test from you, Father. We can stand with you. We can obey you. So we surrender, Lord God, to you and your word and your will again this morning. Come on, everybody say in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Amen. 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 Come on, all over the room. Close your eyes one more time. If you're in the room and you're far away from Jesus, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, away from him, maybe you've turned, maybe again the temptation that you took the bait has drawn you away from God, that you think it's too late. We heard already this morning it's not too late. The minute you take a stand and turn toward him, he's going to come turning toward you. So all over the room, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you're away from him right now, we want to pray with you. What we do around here is we ask you to raise your hand and saying, that's my surrender to God. I want you to save me and change me, Lord God. Renew me, revive me. I repent. I want to be one with you again, Lord God. So as we pray out loud, all just a moment, if this is you, if you say, I want Jesus, I need him again, come on, I'll count to three. That's when you raise your hand. We're going to say a prayer out loud, and there's going to be a heavenly transfer of God to you in a very tangible and a real way. The scripture declares it to be so. So all over the room, if that's you, come on, when I count to three, raise your hand. Come on, one, two, three. All over the room, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on, one, two, three. Come on, three, four, five. All over the room, five hands. One more time, I'm going to look. Come on, your hands are being raised. I want Jesus in a new way. I'm being tempted. I want to resist temptation right now in Jesus' name. We got people outside raising their hands. Five, seven people out there. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray this out loud, church. Come on, Father God. Come on, pray it. Father God, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I recognize my need. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, God raised Jesus from the dead. Be my Lord. Be my Savior forever and ever. I repent. I change my mind and I change my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, church, amen. Come on, amen. That prayer. Come on, open heaven. Opens your heart right now. The Bible says you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things have become new. Let me encourage you. Some other experience, another experience that we talked about earlier that today we celebrate with churches all around the world is Pentecost Sunday. You gave your heart to Jesus. Listen to me. Now give your heart and give your life to the Holy Spirit. Let him fill you and fill you again with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 says 120 in that upper room, they were just waiting on God for 10 days. They didn't know. They were waiting for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, I'm going to send to you. I'm going to send you. Go to Jerusalem and wait. 120 of them were there waiting. And the Bible says after 10 days, come on somebody. After 10 days, all of a sudden there was a sound and a wind that came, filled that whole house, and fire came on, like fire on each one of those 120, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and began speaking in other tongues. Come on, we believe the power of the Holy Spirit, and speaking in other tongues is a gift God wants to give every single person. Can I get a better amen? Amen. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have our prayer partners up here in just the next 30 seconds. I would encourage you to leave your chair. Leave your chair. Let them pray for you. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you. Come on. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you a language to pray, a personal prayer language to pray to God that God understands. That God will give you revelation, give you insight. It'll strengthen you. The Bible says in the book of Jude that when you pray in tongues, it builds you up on the inside. Come on, it strengthens you on the inside. Again, to endure against temptation, to be able to stand strong when you're going through a test or a trial and a difficulty and a challenge where God is proving you in your life. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is your helper. He's going to stand beside you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to counsel you. He's going to speak to you. Come on, everybody. He's a standby. He's a strengthener. He's an enabler. Come on, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to me. Tomorrow's prayer, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of that, as Kimberly said. If not, pray at your house, but we're going to have a good time in prayer tomorrow night from 6 to 7. Otherwise, let one of the prayer partners pray for you. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.